الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue after a long period of interruption due to the various seasons. We continue with the شرح العقيدة الواسطية للشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. And in our last session, we had went over the discussion or the discussion on the virtue of the Sahaba. Particularly, the last thing we mentioned, as per my notes here, if we can call them notes, that we give precedence to the Muhajirin over the Ansar. Walaykum salam, that the Muhajirin are given precedence over the Ansar. Does anyone remember why? Why the Muhajirin before the Ansar? Wait. What do you think, brother? Is it because the term Muhajirin sounds nicer?
It's because they were the first one to accept Islam.
Yes. And what was that additional act of worship which they had to do that is difficult?
Yeah, they had to do Hijrah.
Yes. Thus the name Muhajirin. And it's one thing nowadays to migrate, frankly speaking, and even if you were to move from one country to another, it's so complicated with all the, walaikum salam, with all the modern technology, the means of transportation. I mean, you can easily transfer your phone and your whatever, but it's still, it's nobody wants to move. People don't even want to move within the same building because the idea of moving is a headache. Human nature. So how was it then when they were moving back then? And not, they couldn't move, they had to leave things behind. They had to leave things behind, leave wealth behind. Because their wealth wasn't necessarily gold and silver. Could have been a garden that someone owned. Palm trees, dates, whatever. Things of the sort. They had to leave that behind and go a long distance, man. No means of transportation that are modern and facilitated. It's very difficult. Yet they did this fi sabirillah. So the Ansar were the reception. It's easy to receive. But it's difficult to go away and leave your hometown for the sake of Allah. Thus the Muhajirin before the Ansar from Nusra. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Nasr is like aid, victory, success. And so this is where that came from. قَوْلُهُ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ لِأَهْلِ بَدْرٍ وَكَانُوا 310 اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah further believe that Allah Azza wa, they believe that Allah said to the people of Badr, and they were 300 and some, as in 313, 311, 312, because it says 310 and some. Ma'i? A different way you would say numbers in Arabic and English. If you don't have Arabic money, you don't have to worry about it. But 300 some plus. Allah said to them, اعملوا ما شئتم. What does that mean?
Do whatever you want.
Uh-huh. فقد غفرت لكم. Now, does that mean that Allah was telling them to go and sin? No. Because some people have a limited understanding. They say that Allah is encouraging, like Allah said to the people of the kuffar, do this and do that, and it will be used. They say Allah is commanding, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah never commands anything which is evil. This is here a particular form of eloquence in the language. Like in English, you may say the same thing. So if you want to show your child that you're upset with him, say, look, I don't care what you do, I'm not going to listen. And really, you do care what he does. And you are interested in what he is going to do as a reaction. But this is an expression that you say to deliver a particular message. So here Allah is trying to show the extent of pleasure he has with them. And their forgiveness is so guaranteed that it's Allah is telling him, do whatever you want. Meaning it doesn't affect you now what you do because I have forgiven you. It is not calling them to sin. The Shaykh said, Ahlu Badr, مرتبتهم من أعلى مراتب الصحابة. This you have to memorize. The people of Badr, the hadith is in Bukhari Muslim, this hadith, the people of Badr are in the highest status among the Sahaba in terms of degrees The Sahaba is at various levels. We said Muhajirin, the Ansar. Among the best, the most elite are the people of Badr. وَبَدْر مَكَانٌ مَعْرُوفٌ. Badr is a place. It's a location. كَانَتْ فِيهِ الْغَزْوَةُ الْمَشْهُورَةُ. That conquest, that famous conquest took place in Ghazwat Badr. Everybody knows it. وَكَانَتْ فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ مِنَ الْهِجْرَةِ فِي رَمَضَانِ. And it was in the second year after migration in the month of Ramadan. وَسَمَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَهَا يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ. Allah called that day the day of criterion. Because it was a day where فُرِّقَ بَيْنَا الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. It was a distinction was made between truth and falsehood. وَسَبَبُهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَمِعَ أَنَّ أَبَا سُفْيَانَ قَدِمَ بِعِيرٍ مِنَ الشَّامِ إِلَى مَكَّةِ. The context of the story is that the Prophet ﷺ heard that Abu Sufyan had brought a caravan with him from Sham to Mecca. فَنَدَبَ أَصْحَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا الْعِيرِ فَقَطْ. He encouraged his companions to go and take advantage of that caravan. Why? Because that was their right. You see, they had to escape their own country and their property was confiscated wrongfully. So this was not means of, as some people say, it's like a crime, criminal act and trying to rob the caravan. This wouldn't even give them a small portion of their right back. These are people who lived in a place and they called them to Tawheed, and their mushrikeen continued to fight them until the people of Tawheed had to run away to another place. I mean, this is dhulm. And they had took their property. So this was only means of retaliation, only getting back some of your right. You see what I'm saying? It's like someone steals your Mercedes, and then you hear that he bought 3 bikes for his children. You see, I'm going to go and get one of these bikes for my child. And if you got one of these bikes, what is that in comparison for the Mercedes? He bought 1 million bikes with this Mercedes of yours. You can't get that back. But if you took your bike and people said, why you took your Mercedes? He took my Mercedes, man. He probably bought this bike with my Mercedes. You understand the idea here? So nobody will's mind will go, left or right. Now, فَانْتَدَبَ مِنْهُمْ 310 رَجُلًا. So 313, according to some, the ulama, all of them, they accepted that invitation, and they said, خلاص, we're ready to go and get that caravan. مَعْهُمْ 70 بَعِيرًا وَفُرْسَانًا. Among them were 70 horses and camels. Or fursan are knights. But it says fursan, not faras. وَخَرَجُوا مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ لَا يُرِيدُونَ قِتَالًا. Very important. They left Medina not intending to fight. Because it's one thing when you go, even right now, it's one thing when you want to go and only get your right back. And it's another thing when you want to go and get into a fight. You will go ready. And nowadays, gangsters, for example, if he's going to go and just finish some of his problems with the other gang, he will deliberately go empty-handed. He won't take a knife or a gun because he doesn't want things to get out of hand. He just wants to talk, get his point, message or warning across and go. When you go with your knife and your gun and everything, meaning you're already set in mind that if anything happens, you're going to do something. So the mentality makes a difference and the weaponry makes a difference. These are people that are not going, they're not bringing swords and everything and shields and bows and arrows and trying to fight. They're trying to get a caravan. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِحِكْمَتِهِ جَمَعَ بَيْنَهُمَ وَبَيْنَ عَدُوهِمْ. However, Allah Azza wa Jal, through His wisdom, He joined them with their enemies. يعني they wind up meeting, but not only for that. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ بِذَلِكَ وأن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام خرج إليهم لتلقي العير أخذ بساحل البحر وأرسل صارخا إلى أهل مكة يستنجدهم. When Abu Sufyan heard of that, and that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had went out to catch that caravan, he wind up taking the ocean side, and then he sent help and aid to the people of Mecca seeking their assistance. فانتدب أهل مكة لذلك. The people of Mecca, they also took heed from that warning and they were prepared for fight. وخرجوا بأشرافهم وكبرائهم وزعمائهم. And they went out with the noblest, the most noble among them. And they weren't really noble. But these people who they would consider, and their big heads and their leaders. خرجوا على الوصف الذي ذكر الله عز وجل. How did they go out? In the manner which Allah described. بطرا ورياء الناس ويصدون عن سبيل الله. They came out in boastfulness and to be seen from by men. To be seen by men, and they were hindering the people from the path of Allah. They weren't boastful and happy. وفي أثناء ذلك جاءهم الخبر أن أبا سفيان نجا بالعير. While they were in that preparation, going out boastful and cheerful, the news came to them that Abu Sufyan was managed to escape with the caravan. He wasn't caught. فَتَآمَرُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الرُّجُوعِ. So they started consulting one another in terms of return. خلاص, there's no need to go and fight because he managed to escape. لَكِنَّ أَبَا جَهِلْ قَالْ والله لا نرجع حتى نقدم بدرا فنقيم فيها وننحر الجزور ونسقي الخمر وتضرب علينا القيان وتسمع بنا العرب وتسمع بنا العرب فلا يزالون يهابوننا ابدا. أبا جهل he was a jahil for a reason, obviously. He said, by Allah, no, notice now he's swearing by Allah, I mean they believed in Allah and they believed in Lat and Uzza and these other things. He said, we will not return until we go to Badr. And we will remain there, slaughter the camels. The fanciest wealth they have. Slaughter the camels, barbecue. In other words, we will have a barbecue. And we will drink wine. And we will have the girls sing for us. Britney Spears back then. Until the Arabs hear about us. Until they hear, and they will ever be in awe because of us. Yani the Arabs will ever respect us. You know, did you see what Quraysh did? What Ahlu Makkah did? They went and this and that. So he was trying to get some reputation there. Trying to be showing off. The Sheikh said, وَهَذَا الْكَلَامُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْفَخْرِ وَالْخُيَلَاءِ أو الْخَيْلَاءِ. This kind of speech indicates boastfulness and arrogance. والاعتزاز بالنفس and self-conceitedness. ولكن ولله الحمد كان الأمر على ما عكس ما يقول. But and all praise due to Allah, the matter was exactly the opposite of what he said. سمعت العرب بهزيمته من نكراء. The Arabs did hear about their, you know, this loss, this defeat. That's the word I'm looking for. This humiliating defeat. Until today, we're laughing at them right now. Ha! So that's what happened for them. So that the Arabs ever, you know, Abu Jahl, idiot. فَهَانُوا فِي نُفُوسِ الْعَرَبِ. So they were belittled in the eyes of the Arabs until today. And that's no see. Not Arabs and non-Arabs, that doesn't matter anymore. But back then, that was the community. It's like if the scenario was in Pakistan, you'd be talking about Pakistan and what the Pakistanis would think. It's not racism. Because some people say, what's up with this in Arabs? The Sahaba were Arabs, all Arabs. Those who were non-Arabs were a minority. Salman, and a few of them of the Sahaba, 3-4 of them, really. And some of the Ahbash who also spoke Arabic. But the rest of them were Arabs. So the context is the Arab. Not that Islam is for the Arabs, but these are the people back then. If you were to have the addresses more international, it wouldn't make sense to the audience then. It's like, who are you talking about? We are the only ones here. So don't some people also have a misinterpretation? They think that there's some sort of racism in Islam, that why is it speaking about the Arabs and is it favoring? These are the people. These are the audience. This is the invitee. These are the invitees. Now, قدموا بدرا والتقت الطائفتان أو الطائفتان. ما يخالف. Two groups. طائفتان or طائفتان. Where's the raf'? First of all, التقط الطائفتان. الطائفتان, is it مفاعل? Is it the subject of the sentence or the object of the sentence? Great. It is the فاعل. It is the فاعل. التقط الطائفتان. Who did the التقاء? الطائفتان. These are the subject. And the طائف, is it مثنى or جمع? مثنى. والمثنى يرفع بالألف. The علامة, the sign of the رفع of the مثنى is ألف. ذهب الولدان. ضربت الولدين. I beat the two children. Yeah, because it's مفعول به. ذهب الولدان. They did the action of leaving ولدان. So you find in the Quran, you find an and ain. جنتين جنتان. You wonder why? Because of the grammatical position of the word in the sentence, which is very fundamental, because it twists the meaning, it changes the meaning, it has a huge effect on understanding. Without it, actually, you may not only not understand, rather you will understand the opposite of what you want. يعني when you say Ibrahim, إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم, إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم. When you say Rabbahu, meaning Ibrahim is the one who came to Allah. Rabba is maf'ul bihi, is the object of the sentence, with because of the fatha, which means the one who came with the sound heart is Ibrahim. If you were to make a mistake and say إِذْ جَاءَ رَبُّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, then you have said that Allah is the one who came with the sound heart, and we don't attribute a heart to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say anything, in fact. We don't accept or deny, because we have nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah which neither affirms nor deny. We would just be quiet. But you will change the meaning if you were to say إِذْ جَاءَ رَبُّهُ instead of رَبَّهُ. So that Dhamma Fatha will twist the meaning around completely. So if someone is leading the people in Salah and he makes that mistake, he committed kufr in the Salah. Does it mean that, you know, the Salah is invalid? You say no, because he's probably jahil, he doesn't know what's going on and what have you. But I'm showing you the importance of knowing these technicalities, because they're part and parcel of understanding the deen. إذن التقط الطائفتان, because here the noon will get a kasra, won't get a dhamma, because dhamma is not for the muthanna, dhamma is for the mufrad. جاء الولد. وأوحى الله تعالى إلى الملائكة. Then Allah revealed unto the angels. أني, so this is Surah Al-Anfal. أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا. That I am with you, so keep firm those who have believed. سألقي في قلوب الذين كفروا الرعب. I shall cast in the hearts of those who have disbelieved terror. Terror, fear, atmosphere, رعب. Like in another ayah, رهب, ترهبون. Terrorism, by the way. This, people say it is, you know, it's terrorizing them. But terrorizing them in the context of Islam, not in the context of blowing up a building, which the Muslims didn't do, FYI, if you're speaking about the Twin Towers, not in the context of killing innocent civilians, because that is not a valid form of irhab, or irhab al-adu. But Allah has a legitimate one during warfare. Muslims are fierce. And remember back in the days, you know, when Muslims were trying to open one of the cities, and they couldn't. They were, you know, outside, you know, basically surrounding them for the longest time. And so they said, what part of the sunnah are we, have we left? So they said, the siwak. You know, some of them said, yeah. So they said, okay, let's, you know, do the siwak. So the enemy saw them and said, these guys are sharpening their teeth. They're going to eat us, man. And boom, it was done. And so the siwak, you know, the people were afraid of the Muslims. Said, these guys don't play games. You know, there's no turning the other cheek. You better believe that one. على كل حال, فضربوا فوق الأعناق. Then strike over their necks. وضربوا منهم كل بنان. And strike and smite, actually, of them every toe and finger. Banan is the finger. أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه بلا قادرين على أن نسوي بنانه. The banan is the finger. And Allah says, we're able to bring back the finger. Of course, they found scientifically that there's a fingerprint that every human being has unique to him. And so Allah is showing you that He's able to bring you back with your own fingerprint. And it's not يعني, a big deal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إذن ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله. Why is that? Because they have contradicted and opposed Allah and His Messenger. وَمَن يُشَاقِقْ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Whosoever contradicts and opposes Allah and His Messenger, then verily Allah is severe in torment. ذَلِكُمْ فَذُوقُوهُ وَأَنَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That torment tasted, and that the disbelievers will have the torment of the hellfire. حصل اللقاء, and this was the ayat in this context of Badr. Now you can relate. So next time you read in Surah Al-Anfal, ayat 13 and 14, and you read these ayat, your mind should relate them to Badr and the story that you heard right now. This is why it's ayat like this which make it unwise to give a non-Muslim a Quran as a gift. People get excited, say, oh, get the Quran translation. Here you go. Someone who's meh, as they say, he doesn't know about Islam, nothing. You give him the Quran, and okay, and he opens the Quran, Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah Al-Anfal, kill him wherever you find him, and say, oh, hey, ho. Oh. Hey, man, this is their book. What I've been seeing on CNN is real. And so who's going to give him that when he's finished? It's going to be very tough to say, listen, no, wait, time out. Let me explain to you the context. Hey, you contact, khalas, done. So that idea which people get excited, they're giving him da'wah, I gave him the Quran, is not really good because you don't know what he's going to read. Now, it is good at a particular stage. Someone who's learned about Islam, misconceptions have been answered, he knows what's up, and he needs guidance. We hope that the Quran will serve that purpose. But did the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam say, okay, during his time, 23 years, let's say 5 years into the da'wah, did he say, okay guys, see what we have of the Quran, compile it, and let's send it to the people? No. He was sent to the قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. He was sent a particular ayah to the people of the book, come to common terms between us that we worship none but Allah. He would quote an ayah relevant to the audience. He wasn't telling him here Surah Al-Naba and Surah Al-Nazi'at. It wasn't done in this fashion. It wasn't done. Even the ayat which were revealed for particular people at times. He wasn't publicizing everything. The Sahaba were learning them, but the Kuffar weren't hearing everything which was revealed. So all this has to be understood in the right context before we get excited and give him a Quran or a translation of the Quran. Give him a book that is to the point. A brief about Islam, an introduction to Islam, good. When he reaches a particular level, he is interested because some people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear religion. So you give him the Quran, he will say, what is this, throw in the trash? You understand what I'm saying? Is he ready? If he's ready, it may be a suitable gift. Provided that you're able to answer, if he asks you, look, I read this ayah, and what does this ayah mean? You say, hold on, let me call, this one guy I know. That's what usually happens. Let me call, I'll call you back. Yeah. المهم وكانت الهزيمة ولله الحمد على المشركين. So the defeat was against who? The defeat was for the kuffar, mushrikeen, the polytheists. والنصر المبين للمؤمنين. And the evident victory was for the believers. انتصروا. They were victorious. وأسروا منهم 70 رجلا. And they took as captive 70. That's a lot of numbers. That's a lot of people. A large number. وَقَتَلُوا 70 رَجُلًا. So they took 70 as war captives and killed 70. That's 140 from their leaders. From their leaders. مِنْهُمْ 24 رَجُلًا مِنْ كُبَرَائِهِمْ وَصَنَدِيدِهِمْ. Among the 70 were 24 among the highest ranked leaders among the Qurayshis. سُحِبُوا فَأُلْقُوا فِي قَلِيبٍ مِّن قَلْبِ بَدْرٍ خَبِيثَ قَبِيحَ. They were then dragged when the whole thing was done and they were thrown into a well in Badr that was filthy and rotten. ثُمَّ إِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَعْدَ انْتِهَاءِ الْحَرْبِ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ رَكِبَ نَاقَتَهُ. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, 3 days after that war, he got on his she-camel. ووقف عليهم يدعوهم بأسمائهم وأسماء أبائهم. Then he stood over them, calling them by their names and the names of their fathers. يعني يا فلان ابن فلان. فلان ابن فلان. Oh, it says here يا فلان ابن فلان. By the way, and the funny thing is, in one of the lectures, someone said, "Who's فلان?"
Very famous guy.
I said, "Come on, man." He's like, well, he's wondering, there's the guy talking about Fulan all the time. Fulan, I really want to meet this Fulan. I'll bring him next time and put him next to me in the lecture. By the way, everyone, this is Fulan. Fulan, يا Fulan ibn Fulan, أَيَسُرُّكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَطَعْتُمُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, such and such, son of such and such, are you pleased now that you have obeyed Allah and His Messenger? Meaning, have you seen the consequences of not obeying Allah and His Messenger? فَإِنَّا قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا. We have found what Allah has promised us to be true. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا. Have you found what Allah promised you to be true? We have found what Allah promised us, victory. Have you found what Allah promised you? What did Allah promise them?
Jannah.
The hellfire. Jannah? The Quraysh, ya Shaykh, Allah yahdik. Ashbak Ibrahim. Ibrahim, you will leave Islam with these statements, man. I'm telling you, man. You better concentrate with me here. Don't go off. I'm telling you, bro. فقالوا يا رسول الله ما تكلم من أجساد لا أرواح لها. This is very important in the tawassul. You can go back to the lecture tawassul. They said, oh Messenger of Allah, why are you speaking to souls? You're speaking to souls which have no body. I'm sorry, bodies which have no souls. What does that tell you? That the Sahaba believed what Allah said in the Quran. إنك لا تسمع الموتى ولا تسمع الصم الدعاء إذا ولوا مدبرين. You do not make the dead hear. That's what the Sahaba learned from the Quran. You cannot make the dead hear. So to them, this was against what they had learned from Allah and His Messenger. That's why they questioned Him, alayhi salatu wasalam. These are dead. These are bodies. There are no souls. Now here, the Prophet ﷺ told them about in some of the narrations from Aisha, which is authentic. It explains. He said, "Wallahi nafsi biyadihi ma antum biasma' lima aqul minhum." You cannot hear me any better than they can. In some of the narrations, when this was mentioned to Aisha, said Allah made them hear at that time. Which brings us to the principle that this is an exception to the rule. Allah allowed this to happen to them just so they can be reprimanded. Otherwise, the dead can't hear. Because if you open a door that the dead can hear, oy, you won't finish. People are staying at the graveside all the time. Maulana down there, ya Maulana. He can hear. Because the Messenger of Allah spoke to the Kufar and said, hey, time out, man. Go back to the masjid and pray rak'ata. You don't need to pray to this guy, nor do you need to wait for him, nor do you need to communicate with him. The guy needs you. He needs you to make dua for him that Allah forgives him in case he's being punished in his grave. There's no yani, connection with the dead, that they hear us. So this is an exception. The other exception is the hadith that when the people finish burial, the dead man can hear their footsteps. That's it. Khalas. Other than that, end of story. Can open the door. And even if we said, let's say, hypothetically speaking, ya akhi, all of them can hear. Let's say they can hear. Does that justify calling on the dead? No. Now you need an evidence which allows you to call on fulan and seek intercession with them. That you don't have. That you don't have any authentic traditions. Except things that the Sufis fabricate as they go along. Because their deen is based on fabrication. So they have no problem coming up with new information. Like Habib al-Jifri and these weird clowns. These people, we cannot even... The clown is a praise, actually. If there was something that is less than a clown which I can use, I would have used. You don't know Habib al-Jifri, do you? Good. Because he speaks Arabic. Big Sufi, big liar against the Messenger of Allah, big fabricator, big liar against Bukhari, big propagator of calling on the dead and the Sufi masters and all this stuff. But it's all in Yemen and it's all in Arabic. Now they give him a lot of publicity on TV.
Clean shaved in this area. For the mustache, he doesn't
have... Yeah, but he has a beard. He has a beard. But he is close friends with Hamza Yusuf. And so you see them, they have in conferences in Canada, they're both speakers at the same event. And if you go on YouTube, you find them sitting together in this special event, special night, which they had, which is very disturbing. Because if you're hanging out with this kind of guy, man, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, we know Sufis are not at one level. Some of them are moderate Sufis, they have some issues. That Habib al-Jifri is... He is gone. He is done. The people say he's... يعني the ulama are... Huh? Some of them maybe do takfir of him. Because the guy has very dangerous statement. You don't hang out with this kind of guy. Ma'alish. Nothing, of course, it's haram. Haram. So, Hamza Yusuf, may Allah rectify our condition. His young, what are you doing hanging out with this guy? We already, yani, people try to defend him that he's not a Sufi. You wouldn't be hanging out with someone wearing the same kind of clothing, sitting together, listening to one, reciting for them the Quran and crying together and all this stuff. Mm-mm. No bueno, amigo. نسأل الله يهدينا يهديه وإيانا. طيب. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وقف عليهم توبيخا وتقريعا وتنديما. Now the Messenger of Allah stood there to reprimand them and to belittle them and to make them regretful. وهم قد وجدوا ما وعد الله حقا. And they have found what Allah promised them to be true. قال الله تعالى ذلكم فذوقوه وأن للكافرين عذاب النار. That torment tasted, and that the disbelievers will have the torment of the hellfire. فوجدوا النار من حين ماتوا. They found the hellfire from the moment they died. فعرفوا أن الرسول حق. So they came to know that the messenger was true, عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولكن أن لهم التناوش من مكان بعيد. But what point would it be right now to have a discussion concerning this from a far place or from a near place? It's all done. It's too late. فأهل بدر الذين جعل الله على أيديهم هذا النصر المبين والفرقان الذي هاب العرب به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه وكان له منزلة عظيمة بعد هذا النصر اطلع الله عليهم. So these people of Badr, whom Allah made on through their hands, this evident victory and this criterion due to which the Arabs ever had the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام and the Sahaba in awe and respect. And they had this great status after this victory because everybody was afraid of them now. Said, oof, they defeated Quraysh. They defeated them and they killed 70 and they kept as captive 70. That's not a joke. So this was a heavyweight loss for them. اطَّلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal looked at them. وقال, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. And Allah said, do whatever you will, whatever you want. فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. I have already forgiven you. فَقَدْ, because it indicates the past. وَالتَّحْقِيق, it is for affirming something and for something that happened in the past. فَكُلُّ مَا يَقَعْ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِ فَإِنَّهُ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُمْ. Any sins which they will commit or they may commit, it is forgiven already. Huh? Tell this to the Shia. Because if they wanted to claim that they had some issues, big deal. Big deal, whatever they've committed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has already forgiven them. بسبب هذه الحسنة العظيمة الكبيرة التي جعلها الله تعالى على أيديهم. Why? Because of this great حسنة, good deed, which Allah Azza wa Jalla had made possible through them. وفي هذا الحديث دليل على أن ما يقع منهم من الكبائر مهما عظم فهو مغفور لهم. This hadith is an evidence that whatever sins they commit, even the great sins, the grave sins, no matter how grave the sin is, they are forgiven. It doesn't matter what it is, they are forgiven. This is why we say concerning the fights which happened, the infighting among the Sahaba afterwards with Ali, Muawiyah, all these things, we say it doesn't matter. These people are already have received the pleasure of Allah and they're all ijtihad. They're all doing ijtihad and Allah decreed for the ummah that if Allah willed, everybody would have been united until now. But Allah decreed that the differing begins then for the wisdom which Allah knows ultimately. So the test can remain until the end of time. But what they have put forth, khalas, is already recorded and done and for their favor. No one can come afterwards and try to take away from them what Allah gave them. Because Allah said about them, radiyallahu anhum, Allah is pleased with them. End of story. وَفِيهِ بِشَارَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَمُوتُوا عَلَى الْكُفُرِ. And there's another glad tidings that they will not die upon disbelief. Because Allah said, do whatever you want, I have forgiven you. Now would Allah forgive the kafir? لِأَنَّهُمْ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُمْ. They're forgiven. وَهَذَا يَقْتَضِي أَحَدُ أَمْرَيْنِ. This means one of two things. When Allah promised they're forgiven, إِمَّا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُمْكِنِ نَكْفُرُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. Either that it is impossible for them to disbelieve afterwards. وَإِمَّا أَنَّهُمْ إِنْ قُدِّرَ أَنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ كَفَرَ فَسَوَفَّقْ لِلتَّوْبَ وَالرُّجُوعِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. If Allah decreed that one of them may disbelieve, he will be given success to repent and return to Islam. No escape. Either he will never leave Islam, or if Allah decrees it is, he will return. Because the hadith says, do whatever you want, you've been forgiven. Which means they must die in the state of Islam because of that forgiveness has been granted to them. وَأَيَّنْ كَانِ, regardless of whichever one it is, really, فِيهِ بِشَارَ عَظِيمَ لَهُمْ. There's a great glad tidings for them. وَلَمْ نَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. Furthermore, historically speaking, we don't have an evidence that any one of them disbelieved afterwards. Not even one of them left Islam afterwards. So where are they getting that from? The Rafida. قَوْلُهُ وَبِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ أَحَدٌ بَايَعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ كَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَلْ لقد رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وكانوا أكثر من 1,400. After the people of Badr, now we'll move on to the statement of the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we believe Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah that the Muhajirin are better than the Ansar, and that the Ahl al-Badr have that particular status, and that no one will enter the fire who took the pledge under the tree. No one who took the pledge under the tree will enter the hellfire. As the Prophet alayhi salatu salam informed us, and it's also in Bukhari and Muslim, because Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and they were more than 1,400. The other way to say 1,400 is 1,400. Both are linguistically popular. 1,400 or 1,400, that's a lot of people. A lot of people that will not enter the hellfire, according to the Prophet ﷺ. And the ulama say, when the Prophet ﷺ would give information about the future, which Allah gives him, this cannot be abrogated. Because rulings may be abrogated. Yani, in the beginning this will be halal, then it becomes haram, or vice versa, or whatever. We know many examples in the khamr, alcohol, salah, whatever, whatever. But issues of fulan will go to Jannah, khalas, it's not going to be abrogated. If the Prophet ﷺ said that this person will go to paradise, it's a done deal for them. Now, وَأَصْحَابُ الشَّجَرَ هُمْ أَصْحَابُ بَيْعَةِ الرِّضْوَانِ. Who are the people of Shajara, the people of the tree? They are the people of the bay'ah, the pledge of Ridwan. It's called Ridwan. وَسَبَبُ هَذِهِ الْبَيْعَةَ. The reason behind this pledge, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ إِلَى مَكَّةَ يُرِيدُ الْعُمْرَةِ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام went from Medina to Mecca. He wants to do Umrah. وَمَعَهُ الْأَصْحَابَهُ وَالْهَدِي. And he has with him his sahaba and the animal which will be given as a gift. Because the difference between udhiya and between fidya and between hadi, people confuse them. You try to get phone calls on hajj. Brother, I'm doing hajj ifrad, and the udhiya which I'm giving, when do I... What does that have to do with that? Udhiya is for the one who's not going for hajj, ya habibi. You know, if you're not doing hajj, you want to offer udhiya for Eid al-Adha. That's what you're doing, hajj ifrad, and he thinks udhiya is part of the hajj. But it's hajj ifrad. The whole thing about ifrad is they don't have anything to offer. So when can I cut my nails? Brother, please, where do we begin? Who told you to go for hajj, akhi, without reading a book about hajj for the sake of Allah? People go for hajj and then after they're done, brother, on the first day I didn't do this. And on the second day I didn't do that. On the third day I didn't do this. On the fourth day I stoned jamarat after fajr. Didn't do anything right. Now, can you help me, brother? No, I can't. I need someone to help me now, man. Where do you get all these problems from? You need to do hajj all over again, brother, or you're going to be sacrificing animals left and right. Everything you've done is wrong. Yes, Sheikh, go buy a book. A book said, you know, hajj guide. Follow the steps. On this day, do this. If you can't, ask about it. I can't do this on this day. Can I delay it till later? Tawaf al-ifadah, sa'i al-hajj. But it's amazing. Amazing. 20 years they've been collecting money to finally do it, and he brings his parents here, and they know nothing about hajj, and neither does he. Brother, my parents came from, you know, this country, can you blah blah blah. Yeah, brother, why didn't you read a book yourself for your parents' sake and help them when they come here, say, let's do hajj together and do it ABC. Follow the instructions, you know? Anywho, Allah musta'an. So they brought with them the hadi.
Hadi
hajj. Well, they don't umrah, ya Shaykh. You can do hadi for umrah. Hadi is a gift which you give. Hadiya. From Hadiya, what's it called? Hadiya is a gift. Fidya is an expiation. Udhiya from dhaha, to sacrifice. Ma fi mushkila. Understand the differences, but now here it's for the umrah. He brought the hadi with him for the umrah, alayhi salatu wassalam. فلما بلغوا الحديبية المهم وكانوا نحو 1400 رجل. They were around 1400 men. لا يريدون إلا العمرة. They don't want anything but عمرة. فلما بلغوا الحديبية, they reached a place called حديبية, وهي مكان قرب مكة. It's a place nearby مكة. في طريق جدة الآن. It's on the way to Jeddah now. Jeddah is mentioned in the book. Jeddah غير. They should mention here the construction work which we've been having for 5 years on تحلية. بعضها من الحل وبعضها من الحرم. This Hudaybiyah is divided. Part of it is in Hill, and part of it is in the haram. Yani part of it belongs to the area which is not part of the sacred mosque, while the other one belongs to the sacred mosque. You know, hill and haram is what it is. وَعَلِمَ بِذَلِكَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ The mushrikun knew about this. They knew that the Prophet ﷺ was at the Hudaybiyah. مَنَعُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَصْحَابَهُ They prevented them from their umrah. لِأَنَّهُمْ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَحُمَاتَ الْبَيْتِ They claim that they are the people of the Kaaba and they are the protectors of the Kaaba. Allah says, وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ إِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ They were never its guardian, its protector. Rather, the true protectors of the Kaaba are the people of taqwa, the messenger of Allah and the Sahaba alayhi salatu salam. وَجَرَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مُفَاوَضَاتٍ Now here, they entered into the issue of negotiations. Political negotiations. There was no fight over there, Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. I should avoid cold water. طيب. وأرى الله تعالى من آياته في هذه الغزوة ما يدل على أن الأولى تنازل الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وأصحابه لما يترتب على ذلك من الخير والمصلحة. Now Allah عز وجل showed in his signs, in his ayat, that in this particular غزوة, what indicates that what is more preferable, what is better, is that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and the Sahaba kind of give up something. تنازل is to give up something. Say, لا, ما في مشكلة. I'll let you take this one. Because of the benefit and the goodness which was awaiting them. يعني you had to be diplomatic, in other words. I'll let you slide now, but I will catch you later. Or it appears that now you're benefiting, but I'm benefiting in the long run. See what I'm saying? And so people, you know, have to hear, you have to curb your emotions. Because if you act on emotions as Sahaba did, you're not going to swallow it. Say, what? You know, we have the upper hand, this and that. But if you look in the long run, specifically when Allah is telling you what's going to happen, I mean, this is from Allah. You have to have a whole other approach here. فَإِنَّ نَاقَةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَىٰ وَسَلَامُ بَرَكَتْ وَأَبَتْ أَنْ تَسِيرُ The she-camel of the Prophet ﷺ, it went down, it wouldn't move anymore. It wouldn't move anymore. It sat down, خلاص. Took a rest. حَتَّى قَالُوا خَلَأَتِ الْقَصْوَىٰ أَيْ حَزُنَتْ وَأَبَتِ الْمَسِيرُ Until they started saying القصواء is the name of it. They said that it has become upset. It doesn't want to move. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ سَلَّمُ مُدَافِعًا عَنْهَا The Prophet ﷺ defended it. والله ما خلأت القصوى. No, by Allah, it did not become sad and stop. وما ذلك لها بخلق. This is not part of its trait or character. The camel, the she camel. ولكن حبسها حبس الفيل. يعني the same reason which prevented the feel, أصحاب الفيل from approaching the Kaaba, is the same reason is preventing it from moving. It's from Allah. Who told the camel not to move? Allah عز وجل. So Allah did not want the she-camel. He's saying that the camel is obeying Allah. Don't think that it is acting up. It is not acting up. He's defending her, alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ قَالْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ He said, by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَا يَسْأَلُونِي خُطَّةً يُعَظِّمُونَ فِيهَا حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَعْطَيْتُهُمْ إِيَّهَا They will not ask me for any plan in which they will magnify some of the rights of Allah except that I will accept. Except that I will accept. Anything which indicates that they will venerate anything of the rights of Allah, I'm going to go for it. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. جَرَ التَّفَاوُض Negotiations began. وَأَرْسَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ سَلَّمْ عُثْمَانَ بْنِ عَفَّانَ The Prophet ﷺ sent Uthman ibn Affan. Oh, you all know the story. لِأَنَّ لَهُ رَهْطًا بِمَكَّةَ يَحْمُونَهُ Why? He had a group of people who can protect him in Mecca. I mean, at the end of the day, you also needed connections back then. If you don't know the right people, you will be gone. If you know someone, they will get you back. They will protect you. أرسله إلى أهل مكة. He sent him to the people of Mecca. يدعوهم إلى الإسلام. Inviting them to Islam. ويخبرهم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما جاء معتمرا معظما للبيت. And informing them, the Messenger of Allah only came in for Umrah and to magnify the house of Allah. Not for anything else. فشاع الخبر بأن عثمان قد قتل. News spread that Uthman was killed. كَبُرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ The Muslims were, you know, this was big for them. We send Uthman to negotiate and you kill him, you kill the messenger of the messenger. فدعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى البيعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then invited them to the pledge. يبايع أصحابه على أن يقاتلوا أهل مكة الذين قتلوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That they swear, that they pledge, they give him the pledge that they will fight the people of Mecca who killed the messenger of Allah's messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Because the messenger of Allah sent Uthman as his messenger. وكانت الرسل لا تقتل. And then the messengers themselves would not get involved in killing. Huh? فبايع الصحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أن يقاتل ولا يفر من الموت. They took a pledge with him that they will fight and they will not escape from death. They will not try to escape death. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت الشجرة يبايع الناس. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was sitting under the tree giving pledge, taking the pledge from the people. يمد يده فيبايعونه على هذه البيعة المباركة. He will extend his hand عليه الصلاة والسلام and they will give him the pledge over this blessed pledge. التي قال الله عنها, the one that Allah said about, إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم. Those who are giving pledge to you, they're really giving the pledge to Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hands, and the hand of Allah is over their hands because Allah is above the creation, and we are beneath. So our hands are beneath the hands of Allah subhanahu wa taala. Correct, because Allah Himself is above. So there's no issue in the ayah, because some of the Asha'ira and the Murji'a and the Jahmiyyah, they try to use this ayah to go left and right with it. وكان عثمان رضي الله عنه غائبا. عثمان was absent because he thought he died. فبايع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيده عن يد عثمان. He, the Prophet ﷺ, gave pledge to his own hand on behalf of Uthman. Huh? Because of the virtue of Uthman رضي الله عنه. وقال بيده اليمنى هذه يد عثمان. He said with his right hand, this is the hand of Uthman. So he did it on his behalf, because he knew that if Uthman would be there, he would not only be there, he will give his wealth and health and everything في سبيل الله. This is already known. ثم تبين عثمان لم يقتل. Subhanallah, it's a test. Then it became clear that Uthman wasn't killed. وصارت الرسل تأتي وتروح بين, عفوا, كانت الرسل above, the messengers used to not be killed. As in, when you would send someone as a messenger, they usually don't kill him. They may disagree with you, but they will honor the person whom you send. He doesn't get killed. So doing so is a great crime, even according to their standards. Even though they're criminals, that is considered like really lowly. Not that the messengers did not fight, otherwise the jihad was going on from way back in the day. You know, from the time of the prophets. And you all know the in Surah Al-Imran, and the what's the name of the Harut and Marut and the other one?
That's in Baqarah.
Aywa, Baqarah. Yeah. What's the name of the Malik which Allah sent with them? Talut, na'am. Anyways, they were engaging back then, يعني, in warfare, just so you will understand. Because earlier I said the opposite of what I should have said. على كل حال, وصارت الرسل تأتي وتروح بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقريش. So then the messenger started going back and forth between Quraysh and the Prophet ﷺ. Different people going back and forth, conveying the messages to one another. حتى انتهى الأمر على الصلح الذي صار فتحا مبينا للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. Until they agreed to the صلح في حديبية, which was really a conquest for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. It was a great victory for him عليه الصلاة والسلام. هؤلاء الذين بايعوا قال الله عنهم. Those who gave him the pledge, Allah said concerning them, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has become pleased with the believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. As they give pledge or give you the pledge under the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Very important. Allah knew what was in their hearts. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So Allah sent down the tranquility upon them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And He gave them a near victory. وَمَغَانِمْ كَثِيرًا. And many spoils, يأخذونها, which they will acquire. وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. And ever Allah is full of might and wisdom. وكان من جملة المبايعين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم. Among those who gave that pledge were none but Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and Ali, the four Khulafa and Rashidin. And Allah is telling you, Allah knew what was in their hearts, and Allah gave them this, and Allah is pleased with them. But Allah المستعان. فوصفهم الله تعالى بالإيمان. Allah described them with إيمان. Where? لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah called them believers. وَهَذِي شَهَادَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِأَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ بَاءَ تَحْتَ الشَّجْرَ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ مَرْضِيٌ عَنْهِ. This is a testimony from Allah that everyone who gave pledge under the tree is a believer whom Allah is pleased with. He's a believer and Allah is pleased with him. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا يدخل النار أحد بايع تحت الشجرة. No one that gave pledge under the tree will enter the hellfire. لا إله إلا الله. فالرضا ثابت بالقرآن وانتفاء دخول النار ثبت بالسنة. The pleasure of Allah is affirmed in the Quran, and the fact that Allah will not, the fact that they will not enter the fire is affirmed in the Sunnah. So the Quran is telling you Allah is pleased with them. The Sunnah is telling you they will not enter the fire. خلاص يا شيخ. I need to stop there. You need to stop there if you had a brain. Unless you're an enemy of Islam. If you're an enemy of Islam, you will ignore the ayat and the hadith and everything and try to claim otherwise. In the name of, you know, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. على كل حال وقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يدخل نار أحد باء تحت الشجرة قد يقول قال كيف نجمع بينه وبين قوله تعالى وإن منكم إلا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا. This is a long discussion. Now, the statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, no one would enter the fire who gave pledge under the tree. How do we bring a relation between that and between the statement of Allah وإن منكم إلا واردها, Surah Maryam, and there isn't any one of you except that he shall wurud. So speaking about what? These ayat. Who knows this ayah? فَوَرَبِّكَ وَلَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ ثُمَّ لَنُحْضِرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيًّا ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيًّا ثُمَّ لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَوْلَى بِهَا صِلِيًّا وَإِنْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. The ayat speaking about the hellfire. The hellfire. Allah saying there isn't any one of you except that he is doing wurud to Jahannam. Verily this is something that is inevitable and promised by your Lord, upon your Lord. Hatman maqdiya. How do we say here Allah saying no one, there's no one except that he will do wurud to Jahannam, which now here is the difference. Is it wurud as in entering? Because Prophet ﷺ said no one will enter the fire who gave the pledge, and the ayah is saying none of you except that he will enter the fire. Now this ayah, you have to understand the tafsir of. And that would be, not now, because it's a long discussion. But just so you will give beautiful, so I will not leave you puzzled here. The ulama have differed. Some of them are of the opinion based on this ayah, and the supporting evidences that everyone will enter the fire. But it will not be a source of pain upon the believers. Because the next ayah, Allah says, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we will save those who are taqwa. Which means everyone will enter the fire, but only those who deserve punishment will be punished. Otherwise, we'll simply go in. The other tafsir is wurud as in to go on top of Jahannam. On the sirat. So it is not wurud inside, it is wurud on top. So the scholars have differed. The wurud here, is it that of going either way? Let's assume going in. Still, if you're a believer, and you were a believer, it is not going to hurt you. But everyone will get in that feeling before Allah takes them out, according to one tafsir. So how do we bring a relation? The Shaykh will mention the tafsir of the ulama, excuse me, of this ayah, inshallah, and we will deal with the rest later, and we'll deal with the 10 who have been given glad tidings of Jannah, so on and so forth. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Tayyip.